Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back to the Legal Nurse Podcast. This is your co-host, Kelly Campbell. Today we have a guest, Michael Max. He's an acupuncturist. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Kelly. How are you today?
Good. First and foremost, he is a clinician. He practices Chinese medicine. He loves the study of medicine, learning from others and teaching others. And he also has a podcast. We're in for a treat today. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm really happy to be here. I love talking about this stuff. And, you know, medicine is cool. I mean, regardless of what kind of medicine you practice, it's such an interesting way to spend the day, you know?
Oh, no kidding. Now, disclaimer, everyone, I have used acupuncture, so I am a believer. But let's start out by saying and answering, what does acupuncture treat?
What does acupuncture treat? I love that question. I'm so glad you asked that question first instead of the question of how does acupuncture work, because that just gets into such a kettle of fish. You know, it's wonderful to know what something is helpful for. And so what does acupuncture treat? It's famous for pain. So lots of people use it for pain. Most folks think it's only for pain, but really pretty much anything that you would go to see your internal medicine doctor about, you could go see a qualified acupuncturist. So my day involves seeing people with women's health disorders, menstrual sorts of things, migraine headaches. I treat a lot of digestive issues, psychoemotive issues, anxiety, depression, these kinds of things often respond quite well with acupuncture. Sleep issues as well. Anything that you'd see your regular practitioner for, an acupuncturist could probably help you.
Okay. Now, I have used it for pain. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend has used it for fertility issues.
Super good for that. Chinese medicine has this like 1500 year history, like way back from the Tang Dynasty. They've been writing books and they've been practicing women's health.
Well, that's what I learned while my girlfriend was going through this. I mean, she studied everything before she did anything. So that was the first I'd learned about it for women's health. Mm-hmm. And then my sister has done it for migraines. Mm-hmm. So I was unaware about sleep. Can we touch a little bit on that before we go any further?
Sure, absolutely. So with sleep, quite often in our conventional medicine world, we're looking to try to knock people out if they're having trouble sleeping. We're trying to force their system into a state of sleep. Or if they can't sleep, to just kind of hypnagogically put them out. So even if they're not sleeping, they don't know they're sleeping, right? Drugs like Ambien work that way. But with Chinese medicine, acupuncture and herbs in particular, both of them are geared not toward sedating somebody or trying to knock them out. It is more geared to regulating their natural circadian rhythms. There's a certain point in the day where you're supposed to be awake, alert, ready to get on with life. There's a certain point in the day you're supposed to be moving toward restfulness and eventually into sleep. It's a natural cycle that all of us have, and every healthy human being has that. And if that circadian rhythm in some way gets off balance and then it kind of gets stuck in its own homeostatic but imperfect balance, then people have trouble with sleep. And so the way that we work with sleep is to re-regulate a person's system. And then they will naturally want to sleep when it's time to sleep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, I'm working with someone that's visually impaired. Mm-hmm. And, you know, their sleep cycle gets so disrupted. And so my mind is thinking that way.
And now, then, was there sleep disrupted before they were visually impaired?
No, no.
This came after the visual impairment?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then often the elderly, that's, you know, they, their sleep patterns change. So I'm thinking, sleep. Okay. Yeah. Now, how about the, I want you to actually lead this conversation because you're the expert, but I do the physiology of this because acupuncture absolutely helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me, should we start talking about how acupuncture works and then we talk about the different systems of how it works in the system? Or should I start jump right into the how it helps with the GI system?
Let's do talk physiology for a moment.
Okay.
Because I love physiology.
I do too. I think our listeners will too.
Oh man. Yeah. I mean, anyone in this trade, if you don't love physiology, you're in the wrong business, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I remember studying anatomy and physiology, just, you know, conventional Western anatomy and physiology as a prerequisite to get into acupuncture school. And I was like in my mid-30s getting ready to go back to acupuncture school. It was going to be a second career. And I was so amazed at how all these different tissues and parts differentiate. They do their own thing, and yet they work together as this incredible whole. I completely love, you know, our conventional Western anatomy, physiology, and anatomy. It's just, it's amazing. And it's super helpful. And of course, in my line of work, you have to know this stuff. The thing about Chinese medicine physiology, is that they weren't like cutting people up to see how they were put together. They were looking more at function. They were also looking at form to some degree, but they're also looking at how things function. And so there is I'm going to call it Chinese medicine physiology that looks at the body through a completely different lens than we use in Western conventional medicine. Now, for a lot of it, there's an overlap. There's very big overlap. But in a lot of ways, there are some things that are very, very different. And so, you know, as we start to broach the question of how does acupuncture work, partly we first need to look at and understand something. We're not going to get into all the details, but I just want to let you know how complex it is that we have to look at and understand how does the body work from the Chinese medicine point of view. And then as we start to look at that, one of the things that we realize, this is something Western medicine is just now coming around to, and that is that there is no difference between the mind and the body, right?
So
they are aspects on a continuum, and it can be, you know, you could have something like, let's say the liver, for example, you know, it's formed, it's a piece of meat in the body, but there's an aspect of the liver that has to do with how you vision your life. There's an aspect of the liver that has to do with kind of how you navigate through things, how you make plans.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So there are psychoemotive aspects to all of the organs. So we just call it psychology in conventional medicine. Oh, it's just psychology. We're just looking at the mind as if it was separate from a body. But with Chinese medicine, we see that the mind and the body are absolutely interpenetratively connected. And while there is organ function, like, you know, small intestines that are peristalsing through our systems as we're speaking right now, there's also a psychoemotive aspect to that small intestine. It has a lot to do with how you're able to discern and pull out what's important and relevant and what's not on a psychoemotive level.
Your gut instinct?
Dare we say... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. Even in English, we have these ideas and we have these phrases that point toward what they've been working with in Chinese medicine for thousands of years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just go with me here.
Mm-mm.
So gut instinct. We've now determined, you know, there's serotonin in your intestines and the bacteria and probiotics help with mood now. Mm-hmm. And there might even be more serotonin importance than in the brain.
Yes.
For helping with depression.
Yes.
So that's maybe not new, but.
Oh, no, I would say it is new. That's pretty new stuff.
Okay.
And right. And when you look at how people are treated with SSRI drugs, it kind of takes out the whole idea that the gut's even involved.
And yet now they're recommending probiotics and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. with nutrition, that sort of thing. So let's talk about, you mentioned the liver.
Yeah.
So explain that to me, because I do understand a little bit now how you're saying whole body. Mm-hmm. And I'm making the connection. Absolutely. This is true. Quote, gut instinct.
Yes.
How does the liver work? Can you give me an example?
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So that gets, there's a couple different angles that we can take. I'm going to try to keep this fairly simple here. Okay.
Okay.
I can get kind of Chinese medicine geeky on this.
Yeah, please do. I'm simple minded.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you're simple minded, but you know, let's just say there's a lot of benefit in simplicity.
True. Very true.
Yeah. So the liver, it also helps. It's connected to the eyes in Chinese medicine. The liver is connected to the eyes, and it's both to the outer vision of being able to kind of see where things are going in your life, right? There's like an inner vision that we use to like look at who we are and what the world is and where we want to go, sense of purpose, shall we say.
Okay.
That's all part of the liver.
The liver?
What we call liver, you know, as an organ, you know, again, in Chinese medicine, liver, gan in Chinese, is... it's that piece of meat, but it's also, like I said, the function of being able to see like who we are and where we are and where we want to go. It's also very instrumentally connected with a woman's menstrual cycle.
The liver is. Mm-hmm. Now, is that specific to Western medicine? Because
that's totally Chinese medicine.
I was going to say, because physiologically, I'm drawing a blank here. Remind me, I don't know how that connection.
Well, okay, it connects, Western. You know, again, we were talking Chinese physiology. We're looking at certain kinds of function.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways when you look at the body through the lens of Chinese medicine, this is one of the connections that we see. Now, can we see this from the Western point of view? Yes, we can. The liver is responsible for all kinds of enzymatic and hormonal regulation.
Clotting factors, those sorts
of things. Yeah. So, I mean, we could make a connection there. You know, we could go looking for it and find it.
Right. Okay.
But when we're treating with Chinese medicine, we're not thinking the Western aspect of it. We're just working with the physiology as we've come to understand it, because that's what our teachers taught us, that's what they learned, and it's what's been passed down and written about. This is the cool thing about Chinese medicine. You can go, if you know how to read Chinese, you can pick up a book from the Ming Dynasty and understand what doctors were doing back then.
Yeah. Well, why do you think there's not more research about it? There's starting to be, because insurance is starting to cover more and more acupuncture.
Yeah.
Different treatments, but why do you think there's not more research?
Well, in China, there's a lot, but let's face it, in China, the research is, what's a nice way to say it? Unreliable at best.
Okay.
But we know when research can be quite unreliable in the West as well. Often people are looking to prove a narrative rather than to find out, you know, what's actually here. People are often looking to prove a narrative. My suspicion is research costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time. Generally speaking, it's funded by pharmaceutical companies, you know, or companies selling medical devices or things like that. I mean, you know, look where the money's coming from for research. If you're going to do some research and discover that acupuncture might work as well as your favorite antidepressant drug, That would be a problem.
Yeah. Money talks, huh?
Well, it's just, I mean, we just need to look at how things are funded and who has skin in what game.
I see.
That's just my opinion.
Right.
This is Pat Iyer. As a legal nurse consultant, you play a crucial role in helping attorneys identify medical malpractice cases that are meritorious. There's a lot at stake in a medical malpractice case. The costs, the potential recovery for the plaintiff, and the reputations of the defendants. Using your medical knowledge and analytical skills, you're in a prime position to help attorneys understand the merits of a medical malpractice claim. You can be the light that guides the attorney to the meritorious claim. I have online training with a program called Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening. In this 90-minute webinar, you will discover how to establish the standard of care, how to identify theories of liability, how to use key elements of effective case screening, how to spot case winners and losers, and how to avoid pitfalls of medical record analysis. Join us for 90 minutes as two experienced legal nurse consultants and expert witnesses give you insider tips on the legal nurse consultant's role in the complex world of medical malpractice. Barbara Levin and I have combined 40-plus years reviewing cases as expert witnesses. We share our deep knowledge with you. You'll hear about our most memorable cases and what lessons you can learn from them. Order this 90-minute online training at the show notes at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and use the code LISTENED for a 25% discount off the program. Now back to the show.
Okay. All right, next question. You know, when we first started, I said to our listeners, disclaimer, I'm a believer. It worked for me. Do you have to believe in acupuncture for it to work?
I love this question. No more than you have to believe in your surgeon for your knee surgery to work, or no more than you have to believe that if you drop bread, it's going to fall buttered side down. You do not have to believe in acupuncture for it to work. In fact, from my perspective, me as an acupuncturist, I don't have to believe in it for it to work. You have to know how to use it. I think it's like any other thing. It's a kind of a tool. It's a kind of a method. Of course, it doesn't help everybody because not every medicine helps everybody all the time. Right. But in terms of belief, and we'll get into this a little more. I want to talk about placebo in a moment. But in terms of belief, no, I don't think you have to believe in it. And furthermore, I encourage people to be skeptical about it.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us in the United States, especially if we didn't come from an Asian family, this was not in our family. We didn't have a grandma that made herbs for us when we were sick. We didn't have an uncle that gave us acupuncture if we didn't feel well. So as a Westerner, if we don't come to it with some skepticism, I think it's kind of a problem. We should be skeptical. This is not something that's in our culture. While maybe people like you or, you know, like your friend have used it and it's been helpful, I mean, I think that's great. But anybody who's thinking about using it, I mean, bring your skepticism. Find out how it works for you. I always tell people that they should judge strictly on the results that they get.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking back to the very first time I went and I think I was uncertain. I'm certain I was uncertain about it.
Why wouldn't you? You're smart.
Jokes about going and having some needles between my eyebrows.
You're a smart, intelligent, educated woman. Why wouldn't you be skeptical? Of course you were.
I think I did. So you're right.
And then what was your experience with your first treatment? What happened to you?
I think what made me a true believer was it wasn't the first visit. It was the second or the third visit. I actually had an adverse effect, believe it or not, is what made me
a believer. I love that.
Yes.
Oh, this stuff's really doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's powerful.
That is exactly what it was. It was on my left side. It felt like I was having shingle pains again, you know? But yeah, it was the adverse effect of it.
Yes.
Man alive, what is going on? And this was like a day later, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, any medicine powerful enough to heal is also powerful enough to cause harm if not applied correctly.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So how does acupuncture work? That's a great lead-in. How about that?
Yeah, okay. So this is a really troublesome question. How does it work? So there's some different theories from the Western point of view, and there's some different ideas from the Chinese medicine point of view. From the Chinese medicine point of view, it's super unsatisfying to the Western mind, because what we're talking about is that there is a vitality in the body and that there is an intelligence in the body, and it actually knows how to take care of us.
I believe that, absolutely.
And that can sometimes be compromised. It can sometimes be blocked. It can sometimes be injured. Usually, often it's blocked. I mean, it's there. It's just kind of doesn't know how to do its job. It kind of forgets, you know, or you know, it's like a road where, you know, something washes out and you got to like reestablish certain kinds of connections. So acupuncture, in essence, takes that innate intelligence and kind of wakes it up. And often what it will do is redirect it, and that's part of how it wakes it up. It will redirect it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's all I want to say about that without getting into a whole bunch of, you know, Chinese blah-bitty-blah, because I just don't think that's helpful. I would say at this point, and I've been doing this for 20-plus years now, yikes, 20 plus years.
I know.
Spooky. I know. Yeah. I would say at this point that what it does is what will happen is people will fall into a deep quietude. They call it sleep. I think it's something other than sleep. People often really settle into the treatment. I think what the acupuncture does is it pulls out, it wakes up, it brings out that part of us that knows how to heal us. There's something in us that knows how to take care of us. It is innate in every single one of us. And acupuncture kind of wakes it up. It's like it drops us into a coherence and we come out and go, oh yeah, right, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a conscious thing. It's not conscious at all.
Yeah.
But people just feel better. I mean, they'll often get off my table and say, wow, I haven't felt like that since my car accident.
Yeah. Your body does have an ability to heal itself. Now, here's a question. You know, for healing, and my understanding is, you know, you have to, it goes, is median the right word? That it goes down median? Oh,
you could say meridian or channel.
Meridian, that's
yeah, they call it meridian. Chinese, they call it a jing luo.
Okay.
But you could use the word meridian in English.
Okay, jing luo. So what happens if the nerve in English is buried in your bone and you're wanting to reach beyond that meridian, qinghua, or nerve? Can you reach beyond that?
Ready for this?
Yes.
I'm not interested in nerves at all.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I mean, nerves are part of it, but it doesn't happen because of the nerves. Okay. So this is where it gets weird. I try not to get weird here, but you just invited me, so here we go. These jing luo, the acupuncture channels, these invisible channels of energy. First of all, you may have seen the acupuncture charts where it looks like a line on the body.
Yes.
They're not lines. They're more like watersheds. Imagine looking at how a river meanders through a landscape. These meridians are more like rivers, and they work more like hydraulics than they do electricity.
Okay.
And there is a vitality that runs through them, right? In Chinese, they call it the qi.
Yes.
Which is an impossibly difficult word to translate, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to call that vitality.
Okay.
So these meridians, these so-called meridians, you know, and a lot of people will roll their eyes because they go, well, you know, we're doing a dissection. I don't see any meridians here. Well, first of all, you're not going to find them on a dead person. It's a little bit like how hardware and software work together. Your computer will work when it's booted up, partly because there's hardware, but there's software running on that hardware. And I think the meridian system is the software that's running on the hardware.
Right.
There's no life.
Kind of like your body and your spirit, right?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Okay. All right.
I would make that jump.
Okay.
I would buy that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a new organ that was recently found, air quotes, found last fall called the interstitium. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Yeah, acupuncturists were pretty keen on it. So it's in the fascia. And it's something that's been missed for a long time because once you have a cadaver that's not fresh, that's been dried out, so to speak, the interstitium disappears. You have to have a certain amount of fluid in it for you even to be able to find and recognize this particular level of the connective tissue.
Interesting.
Now, the Chinese have this organ they call the sanjiao, the triple burner. They call it the organ that has a function but no form. It's responsible for the waterways and pathways in the body. The interstitium moves lots of fluid through your connective tissue.
Interesting.
Okay. And the Jing Luo are intimately connected with this interstitium stuff that they recently found.
Interesting. No wonder.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Our time's almost up.
We just got started. This has been great.
I know. So how do we continue learning from you? How do we tap into your knowledge? Let our listeners know where we can find you.
Okay. So I got a couple of things.
Sorry, listeners. Time went so fast.
Okay. So I got a few things. I've got two podcasts. All right.
Good.
One is up and live and current, and the other I retired last November. I'm going to tell you that one first because it's for the general public.
Okay.
It's called Everyday Acupuncture Podcast.
Say it again.
Everyday Acupuncture Podcast.
Okay.
And it's for the general public. It is conversations with acupuncturists using as plain of English as we can to talk about Chinese medicine for those who are interested in learning something about it, to see if it might help them or just because they're interested. And there's 80 plus episodes up there. I set out to make a library of useful information. I think I accomplished that after 3.5 years. So if you're new to Chinese medicine or you want to know something about it, Everyday Acupuncture Podcast is a good one to go to. Now, I've got a new one called Qiological.
Spell that, please.
Q-I-O, logical. Qiological.com, geological.com. This is a super geeky podcast that is for the acupuncture profession. So we get deep in the weeds on that podcast. So if you're a civilian, you might find it boring, but if you want to see what acupuncturists sound like when they're talking to each other, geological.com.
Okay, great. Yeah.
And then I have a clinical practice. And you can find that at yongkongclinic.com. That's yongkangclinic.com. A lot of information there for my patients. So again, people interested in learning something about Chinese medicine, lots of stuff over there about how Chinese medicine can help you with your health. That's my clinical website.
Okay, great. Yeah. And you know, guys, it more and more procedures are and diseases are allowing acupuncture by insurance companies.
Yeah.
You know?
insurance companies want to save money.
Yeah.
Acupuncture's cheap.
Yeah.
Not much in the way of side effects unless someone really messes up and flares up your shingles.
Well, you know what? It only lasted like a day or two. I mean, I went back and I'm obviously still a believer and mm-hmm. I have my own, you know, but that's what really got my brain ticking. Like, oh my gosh, this is real stuff.
Yeah. It can be quite surprising.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. Well, thank you for your time today.
Thanks. This has been great.
I love the conversation. Thanks. All right, listeners, tune in again next week and don't forget to like us. Bye-bye.
If you enjoy testing your analytical skills, you'll appreciate the value of my online training, Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening. Get the details at the show notes for this podcast at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. You will also find the show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com or on our new mobile app, BizEdu. Get the app at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu, BizEdu. The app puts in the palm of your hand all of our content, our free webinars, our blogs, our podcasts, our courses, our reports, and our videos. Get the app at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu. It's available for iPhone and Android phones. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lncu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.